Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa, a spiritual community that promotes global transformation through personal transformation. At the center, we are motivated by a compelling vision of a healthy, loving world, which we call the Global Heart Vision. This vision inspires us to bring the gifts of compassion and loving kindness to the world through our ministries and teaching. What you are about to hear is a recording of a message delivered at the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa. Feel welcomed. Feel at home.
Next breath you take, be deep. And as you exhale, let your eyes close if that feels comfortable. As we take a moment of reflection to consider this year and letting the moments of this year come into focus in our mind. The good, the not so good, the in between. We let it all be just as it is and just as it is not. Taking this moment of quiet to tap into the eternal now, the moment in which we most keenly and clearly sense the presence of the living Spirit Almighty, the ground of all being, the mind of creation. And let us declare ourselves to be safe and whole and well in this eternal moment. And from this vantage point then, to take in and embrace the entire year. Without an inclination to escape, compute, analyze. We just embrace it. This then gives us the opportunity, letting all things be, to turn our attention to the planting of new seeds. I invite you to think now of the quality you'd like to embody in the year to come. And without any effort, just identify it. And in this way, together, we have started the process of recreation, redirection, and regrowth. And letting the next breath you take be deeper too. If you sigh with me, we'll bring this moment of contemplation to its close. Good morning. And thank you, gentlemen of the band, for that beautiful song. Our topic all month is spirituality in action. We're celebrating the holy days, observing how different faith traditions observe the holy days. So I'd like to describe a season to you. It's an old-fashioned season. It's a festive season. And little children are filled with anticipation and building excitement because they're expecting to receive gifts. Some of them are expecting to stay up all night. Houses in the neighborhood are decorated with all sorts of things, inside and outside. Inside, there are boughs of holly and evergreen trees, and those are dressed up with twinkling stuff and ornaments and things. And it's a time of generosity. It's a time of hope. It's a time of feasting, for sure. It's a time of being with loved ones. It's a time of sending messages, cards, greetings to convey love to people who are far away. It's a time to sing songs, to make merry, to celebrate. It's Christmas. Well, actually, it's not. It's not at all. I'm describing a tradition that is thousands of years old. It certainly could be a description of Christmas, and we'll get to the reason for that in just a moment. However, the season I'm describing is one that has been celebrated, well, we don't know how long. It has its origin in non-Christian people long, long, long before Jesus was born. I'm talking about the winter solstice celebration. Now, a side note, many people assume that the current celebration of Christmas comes from the Bible. No. The Bible does not instruct Christians to celebrate the birth of Jesus at all. It does not say in the gospel that we are to throw a party, invite relatives, exchange gifts and fill up the landfill with plastic wrapping, rush to get a deal, put up a tree, cut down a tree, roast a ham. In fact, all of this is decidedly unbiblical. The Catholic Encyclopedia Dictionary says about Christmas, in the earliest days of the church, there was no such feast. You ought to look up the history of Christmas in the United States of America. I mentioned before, it was banned actually once. I think for 2 decades possibly. Well, there's good reason why the early Christians didn't celebrate. For one thing, back then no one really knew the date of the birth of Jesus of Nazareth. And then some 200 to 300 years after he had already passed on, somebody established December 25th as the birthday of Jesus. And that's where the winter solstice comes in. When Christianity began to become a popular religion, there were other faith traditions at the time that already had well-established and popular celebrations like the ones I just described to you, the winter solstice. So there was already a party taking place in December. It's possible that the early Christian church wanted to redirect attention away from the feasts of old. And so they started, quite likely, celebrating the birthday of Jesus on a day when people already had the habit of celebrating. December 25th became the Mass of Christ as we know it today. As more and more people converted from the Western Empire into Christianity, they brought with them, you know how we are, all their favorite customs. Especially the northern people, where this was significant this time of year, they brought their ancient midwinter customs, and we still have them today. A Yule log in the Middle East, mistletoe, wreaths of holly, a magical gift giver, evergreens, candles on trees. The old existing culture of winter solstice leaked into the new Mass of Christ. There's it's a good thing for us to pause here for a moment to consider what happened. It's an important message in all of this about what happens when you dress something up to make it look like something else. We can't make changes on the surface only. We've got to change what is at the heart of something, because if we only change it on the surface, it doesn't go so well because the old leaks back in. There's your science of mind lesson for the day. When I was a young man, 13, 14, I loved the American science fiction writers. I read everything. I can say that I read every single word that Frank Herbert wrote and so many of the other great ones. Just read it all. And one of my pet peeves was when the book publishers would release an old classic with a new title and a new cover. Then I'd be reading it with... I've read this. It's a reminder of that phrase in the Bible says, you can't put new wine into old skins. There's something in this for us. Or the way we say it in science of mind, you must change the consciousness behind the activity that you want to change. That is, if you want true and enduring change. You can't just change the outer. The inner has to change. And people sometimes get caught up in this loop of changing things on the outside. Changing partners, changing jobs, changing cities. Looking for that perfect situation. But what they don't see is that wherever they go, there they are. And if they haven't changed, the old keeps seeping in. I was reading stories about people who win the lotto and then they suddenly have a lot of money, but they don't have the consciousness to handle it. See, the old didn't change, just the outer changed, and very soon they lose everything. There's an article on CNBC, the economist Jay Zagorski, he says, studies have found that instead of getting people out of financial trouble, winning the lottery got people into trouble. Since bankruptcy rates soared for lottery winners 3 to 5 years after winning. So what could be happening is something we've been talking about. When the mindset stays the same, no matter what changes you implement on the outside, eventually the old mindset will leak in. I have to change my mind to change my life. Here's the other way around. I have to change my life and then my mind will change. It doesn't work like that. Anyway, back to the solstice. So although the mass celebrating Christ's birth was dated to December 25th, the spirit of the winter solstice was so strong that its traditions kept on showing up no matter what the church did, because the winter solstice is primal. It goes beyond religion. It focuses on fire and light, because our ancient memories, before electricity, our life in those ancient memories was connected deeply to fire and light. The sun was important. People had to get their tasks done in daylight hours during the light. So when winter came and the days started to get shorter and the nights longer and colder, the question was, is it going to come back? Will it ever be warm again? And then when it did start to return and the day started to lengthen, it was a big deal worth celebrating. Traditions help us stay rooted in the history of our culture. Traditions help us learn from those who went before, and traditions help us appreciate what we have now. When it comes to winter solstice, I take a moment to be very grateful for electricity. I can't imagine life relying only on the sun for light and warmth. And it's staggering. Now, my calendar on my smart device tells me that December 21 is winter solstice. That's the moment when the Earth's axis tilts most directly away from the sun. It's the longest night of the year. It's the time of most darkness. It's a time that ancient people said to be uncertain when everything apparently stands still. But if it weren't for my smart device, I wouldn't know this. I still have to work the same amount of hours all seasons. There's no reason for me to be particularly aware about the access of the earth and cold. I've got a heating system at home. And when the evenings are longer, I just turn the lights on sooner. And this is the way that we become disconnected from nature. Well, there's danger in that. In being disconnected from our mother. There was a time when the people paid closer attention to the cycles of the earth, particularly in the northern climes. They observed the sun with deep interest, with awe and reverence, and they created feasts and celebrations to mark the stages of its cycle and journey. The word itself, solstice, comes from the Latin, which means the sun stood still. A moment of anxiety. Is it going to come back or not? Our ancestors thought of this time as being ambiguous, neither this nor that. A mysterious and magical time, a time belonging neither to this world or the next, a time of standing still. And a time of potentially beginning again, and a time to take in the dark before the journey of the returning of the light begins. Somewhat like the time the caterpillar spends inside the cocoon. Not a butterfly, but no longer a caterpillar. A time of standing still, dissolving, reintegrating. You may have been there once or twice in your life. And so it is also a time of letting go of what went before to make room for the new. In today's world, releasing ceremonies have become a regular part of celebrating the winter solstice. Some like to release the previous year, the good, the bad, and the in-between. Some like to release regrets, disappointments, and upsets as a way of clearing the slate for a new year. Some like to release their stories, relationships, dreams that they have outgrown or moved beyond, as a way of making a moment out of it. Here is a spiritual mind treatment, an affirmative prayer to release and forgive the past so you can live in this moment. I've adapted it for winter solstice from a prayer that Kathleen Kearney wrote on our affirmative prayer library. There is one life in and through each moment. One infinite presence enveloping everything and everyone, excluding nothing and no one. A presence that is love, wisdom, connection, the source of all. This one life is eternal and is always present in all circumstances and life adventures. It is the flow of good that creates and blesses all creation. It is the living spirit almighty. I share that life. It includes me. as the realization of Spirit's life flows through me, and as I open to it, love, wisdom, joy, and the reality of my connection with all things becomes evident. It is what I am. And so, I am open to the guidance that the living Spirit Almighty, as love, inspires in me. I open to its wisdom to guide me through this release and this forgiveness. I tenderly open my heart to the realization that I am connected with everything that has ever occurred in my life and with everything that is yet to come. I tenderly accept that everything has its time and its place, and through it all, my spiritual evolution is unfolding as it should. I am grateful for being exactly where I am right now, and for the wisdom to release that which no longer serves me. I appreciate all who share this moment of life with me. I honor every event, conversation, or circumstance that has brought me to a deeper understanding of divinity in my life. I cherish the understanding that I have the power to plant new seeds, start new adventures, form new connections. This realization allows me to hold gently any ideas of past hurts, disappointments, and frustrations while also letting them go. I claim my freedom from any thought or memories that may obstruct my view and acceptance of the good that is mine right now. I choose to be right here, right now, in the heart of the living Spirit Almighty. The breath I breathe right now feels lighter, like a blessing of gratitude. I give thanks for everything that brings me back to my awareness of being connected to all that is. Going forward now, I release this word, letting the infinite presence as the law manifest that which I have spoken with faith. And so it is. Now, wouldn't it be lovely to have that prayer on a piece of paper to help guide you through your rest of the year? Luckily for you, I have them right here on a piece of paper for you. But here's the deal. As you know, I never give anything away free. You have to come and get it from me in the social hall. That's how you get to say hello. You know, we've got to connect. And I'll be standing at the table where there are little pieces of paper, a card for you to write down anything you want to let go of and release. We have a winter solstice mailbox set up. And then you put your card in there. And what I'm going to do, we're not going to have a burning ceremony here. It's too triggering. Right? I'm going to collect all of them and take them out to a safe location and burn them this week. And to make sure I did it, I'm going to video record the burning and play it for you next week so you can see that going up in smoke. So you come and say hello to me after the message. You know, what I love about seasonal festivals like the winter solstice is that it can help me reconnect to the natural world. I don't want to forget that. It can help reconnect me to the invisible power that runs through everything. I don't want to lose connection with that. It's so easy to overlook all of this in our modern life. Midwinter or solstice celebration was a way of renewing community bonds and can still be a way of reconnecting with nature's cycles, with God, with each other. So I invite you on Saturday the 21st to pause, to be still a moment. You will have already released through this ceremony today or through one on your own. And then pause. And instead of making plans for next year too quickly, just pause. And be in the sacred stillness. Be in the dark. So that you can remember the message of this season. And it's this. the light always returns. Always. On our ancient calendars, calendars moved around, a winter solstice took place on December 25th. Things were different. Now, whether or not Christmas was deliberately timed to coincide with the winter solstice or not, I can't know for sure. I don't know. Perhaps it seemed fitting to celebrate the birth of the individual who so magnificently realized the cosmic consciousness of oneness with the Creator, to celebrate that at a time that was already consecrated to the light. Both Christ's Mass and the solstice were meant to honor the birth of light and to affirm our hope for the renewal of the world. Now, we in metaphysical traditions, we see this time of year as an opportunity also to celebrate the birth of a child whose life, whether historically correct or not, has come to be synonymous with love. At least that's how we think of Jesus at the center. An emblem of love, acceptance, and forgiveness. We view this time as an opportunity to welcome back the light of that love, because from time to time we forget it. You know, when we're in the cocoon, no longer able to live like we were, and not yet clear that we are a butterfly. Whoever decided to place the date of the Christ child story on the winter solstice was a genius. I mean, it's magnificent timing. It's brilliant. Because whether we are Jewish or Christian or pagan or Hindu, whatever it is, we have it in us from our ancient foreparents to respond to the primal earth message that says, no matter how dark it is, no matter that the sun should stand still, no matter what has gone before, no matter that the whole world is confusing, somewhere in me is being born a small but magnificent light, one that is sufficient to shine on my path. Somewhere in me, the sun is shifting and turning back to brighten and warm my days. Somewhere in me is a memory, an inextinguishable memory of spring. And it is already beginning to rustle in me now, and I can trust it. I invite you to take a breath in with me. And to exhale, letting your eyes close, let's take a moment of silent contemplation. Letting the next breath you take be deeper than the one before. As we exhale, we begin to make the transition to the part of our service where we practice the law of circulation. So December 21st is winter solstice, and it's the beginning of Capricorn. December 22nd is the first luminous light of the returning sun in the fall. He's trying to upstage me. We've talked about this, Tom. December 22nd is the first luminous light in the form of Christopher Fritchie's birthday. So that's next Sunday. Next Sunday. So I fully expect you to sing happy birthday for him next week. Yeah. And then William Abels on December 31st, who designed our beautiful stage for us and is preparing Christmas for us. Yeah. And January 4th is my birthday. I'm just saying, it's a good time to be born. You know, in December, right there with Jesus. Any other Capricorns?
Suzanne,
Zachary. Hey. Sorry, that's completely self-indulgent. Will the ushers please stand? And then won't you please take your gift in your hand? And if you gave electronically, either holding your gift or your hand on your chest as a symbol of your heart connection to your center, won't you say after me, I bless this gift. I send it forth to heal and prosper. It does amazing work in the world. And so it is. Ushers, please receive the gift.